It is the week after the election. The people that I know, I'm not speaking for those that I don't or those that I see on social media that I just don't know all that well, but the people that I know that are probably the least interesting right now, maybe it's just for a season, but the least interesting people that I know are the ones that talk about politics the most. Here's what I think we all need. Here's what I think this country needs and every individual that I know needs. We need to go see something that makes our jaw drop, makes us feel small and insignificant because we are small and insignificant. The world was spinning around long before we got here, and it's going to keep spinning long after we leave. We lack those moments where we get the proper perspective to understand our place in this world and Jesus Christ, if you even go beyond this, just our place in the universe, exactly how tiny and insignificant that we are. And Mount Rainier is a place that does that. As I mentioned last week in the episode about living in downtown Portland all summer, we were able to explore in the Northwest quite a bit, and we saw so many cool things. The Northwest in the summertime may be the best that America has to offer. You've got sunlight starting at 5:15, dusk is at about 10 p.m., weather in the 50s at night, 60s to 70s during the day. There are mountains, rivers, waterfalls, beaches, swimming holes, just so many incredible things to do. And of all of those things, the grandest and the greatest was Mount Rainier. Now, I may be alone in this thought, but I feel like Rainier becomes a bit of an afterthought. It's like, oh yeah, it's near Seattle, and if we have extra time, we'll get down there. I'm going to go through maybe a few different ideas or itineraries for how I think you should do Mount Rainier, but it is absolutely worthy of its own trip. Like, don't even worry about Seattle. It's actually not that far from Portland, about 2 hours from Portland, probably an hour and a half, hour and 40 from Seattle. We went there twice, once with my family and then once with my brother, just he and I. And the second time that we were there, we ran into a group on the trail that had been there for 6 days, just in Mount Rainier. Didn't go to Olympic, didn't go to Seattle, didn't go to North Cascades, didn't go to St. Helens, just Rainier, hiking Rainier for 6 days. And at first I thought, my God, that seems excessive. But it is justifiable if you're in good shape and you want to just get up and go and see pretty things and go swimming in alpine lakes and see bears and marmots and mountain goats and all sorts of crazy things. I don't know if I would do 6 days, but it's doable. There's enough there that it's going to take you 4, 5, 6 days to get to it. I'm just going to jump right into the national parks of Washington to just kind of compare and contrast. Because let's say that you do go to Seattle for a long weekend and you want to get out and hike and see some beautiful things, you're almost forced to pick one. So Olympic National Park on the Olympic Peninsula, Mount Rainier National Park, and North Cascades National Park, which is about 2 hours east in the North Cascades, North Central Washington. I'll just run through my quick thoughts on each of those. Making a case for Rainier is what I just said. It's the grandest and biggest and best thing that we saw and that probably exists in the state of Washington. You probably have to go over to Montana to see something that rivals it. And even then, I don't know if for one singular thing, it rivals Rainier. Olympic National Park, you go because of the diversity of landscapes. So you're going to go to Hurricane Ridge and see a 7,000-foot mountain, an 8,000-foot mountain, whatever it is, not 14,500 feet like Mount Rainier is, but it's snow-capped. And when you see snow at the top of mountains, that's pretty cool. You can get up to the top of that and you can see to Victoria, Canada. You can get to the furthest northwest point of the lower 48. You can go to a rainforest or to go to the coast that has driftwood all over the beach, just these giant trees that look like they fell and I don't know how they washed up on the beach with this rocky coastline. You might see orcas, whales, or dolphins in the water. So you've got within a couple hours drive, which, by the way, taking the ferry from Seattle to probably Bainbridge Island is where most people cross. Taking the ferry is something that seems like it's no big deal, but it's going to take you longer than what you thought. If you go on Google Maps and it says, oh, if we want to get to Port Angeles to go to Olympic National Park, we can take the ferry across and it's only going to take 2.5 hours. It's going to take you longer than whatever Google Maps says. It's probably going to take you an extra 30 to 40 minutes. So factor that in. That is one very good option. Olympic National Park in the Olympic Peninsula is incredible. Going there to see the salmon run in September, October would be really cool. But you're going to see three different ecosystems. You're going to see mountains, rainforests, and the coast. The argument for Rainier is it's the biggest and best thing that there is. It's also slightly closer. The argument for North Cascades National Park is those other two places get pretty crowded. North Cascades, I think, gets 300,000 or 400,000 visitors a year compared to a couple million for Rainier and Olympic. So you're not going to see the crowds. There's also no civilization. Look on the map near North Cascades National Park and find me a town that's got anything. There's next to nothing. Not a lot of hotel or Airbnb options out that way. And it also is kind of separated into the national park and a couple of national forest or recreation areas. So looking for the national park itself is a bit deceptive because it's kind of spread out with a couple of other areas of public land. That is a hiker's paradise. At Rainier or Olympic, there are plenty of options for people that just kind of casually want to go drive by something, walk half a mile on a trailhead, and go see some fun stuff. For the most part, North Cascades National Park, outside of just pulling over and seeing Diablo Lake, which looks like blue Gatorade in an alpine lake, to see the best of what that park has to offer, you're going to have to work for it. But you're also not going to be around as many people. The slogan or the label that gets thrown on North Cascades is it's the Alps of North America. And these are just giant snow-capped mountains with lakes and rivers in between. And it's remote. You're off the grid and it feels like it. Probably a great place to go camping. To just really look up, see the stars, feel like you're out there or in a different world. If you live in a city and you're trying to escape that, go to North Cascades. Because you're not going to see as many people and you're just going to be out there in it. There are not, however, the lodging options at North Cascades that you're going to find in Olympic and near Mount Rainier. There are a couple of really cool lodges. There's Ross Lake Resort, which is impossible to get into, that is not accessible by road. And then the National Park Lodge in North Cascades is also not accessible by road. So you're going to have to get on a boat or a water taxi to go across. It's the sort of thing where you probably go to a gravel parking lot, see a telephone pole with a phone in it that likely only dials one number. You call from that phone because your cell phone doesn't work. And you say, hey, I'm here. Come get me. And they send the water taxi over, pick you up. And you're out there on a kayak, on a little boat, fishing, hiking through the mountains. But you can't get to a car. Those are the alternatives. Where you should go, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's probably more likely you go to Mount Rainier because it is an easy drive from Seattle. You don't have to take a ferry to go across. Here's option one of the three itineraries. Option one is you're going to take a day trip from Seattle. The deceptive thing about Mount Rainier is that you think you're closer than you actually are for most of the areas in the park. Because you've got a 14,400 and some change foot peak, depending on what side of the mountain you're actually going to, it can be an hour and a half from Seattle or it can be 3.5 hours from Seattle. You've got to really be strategic about where you're staying, where you're going, and don't get fooled by like, oh, it's right there on the map. Oh, crap, it's an hour and a half to get there. And it's 11 miles as the bird flies. If you want to just take a day trip from Seattle, go on one really good hike. I would recommend the Tolmie Peak Trail, Tolmie. It is on the northwest-ish side of Mount Rainier, so it's going to be about 90 miles from Seattle, from SeaTac Airport, that is. Probably want to start early because if it's on a weekend, especially, crowds from Seattle are going to be coming down as well. But go down, get about a 4 or 5 mile moderate hike in. You get a great view of the peak and you walk by a couple pristine, beautiful alpine lakes on the way up. That's probably your best day trip. There's another fun place between Seattle and Mount Rainier National Park that might be worth a stop. dig in a little bit more. If you have the kids, it could be something that's fun. There's a place called Rainier Reindeer Ranch where they have reindeers, hence the name. Don't know a ton of detail on that, but I saw a couple things while I was doing some research. If we had more time when we took the kids there, that's something that we may have stopped by and done. You kind of have to pick a side of the mountain and stay on it. You can do two or three nights on one side and then maybe two or three nights on the other. If you want to try to hit both sides, then you need to probably commit to just that, two nights on each side. And the two main visitor centers that you're going to go to, one is the Sunrise Visitor Center, and the second is the Jackson Visitor Center. People often refer to that area as Paradise. I'll start there. The Paradise area that has a lodge near the Jackson Visitor Center is the launching off point for the Skyline Trail, absolute best hike in Mount Rainier. It's hard, but it's not so hard that you have to like really train for it. It's about 8 miles, I want to say, total, and about 1,800 feet of elevation gain. Definitely take your trekking poles when you do that. The first week of August when I was there with my brother, it was 72 degrees midday. And as you're walking up, actually, when you do that, you can either go clockwise or counterclockwise. Take the clockwise route because you go up the mountain and it's snow-capped. There's snow everywhere. There are actually 25 active glaciers within the national park. So there's snow everywhere no matter what time of year you go, which is really trippy and really cool that you're sweating and like you see people take their shirts off because they're hot, but also there's snow. And there is, on that trail, there's this giant waterfall that you see off in the distance that's just coming out of snow. So it looks like, well, actually it is, it's snow melt. You just walk up and it gets lost in the white of the ice and the snow. And you're like, holy, is that a waterfall? Like it looks like something out of Iceland. That's kind of on the way up on the clockwise route. You go up first and kind of work your way circularly around and come back down. On the way up, the second best part of that hike is a spot called Panorama Point. And from Panorama Point, you can see Mount Adams, Mount St. Helens, and Mount Hood. And obviously, Mount Rainier, the peak is right there. So you can see all four of those within the Cascade Range from the same point. That's on the way up. That's the second best part of the hike. On the way down in July, August, whenever you go, you're going to be kind of trudging through snow. So hiking poles or trekking poles are a good idea for that as well. But take a rain jacket, a garbage bag, take something that you can put under your butt and you can sled down the mountain. The trail kind of goes along or winds down, and these routes where you can just put your butt in the snow and just go down like a kid and giggle and just be giddy are on the way down if you take the clockwise route. If you are going the opposite direction, you'll kind of be going up doing the hardest part of the hike, and then you'll see people coming down, sliding down the snow, thinking, oh, that'll be fun. I'll do that on the other side. And there's just not the opportunity to do it when you take that counterclockwise route. Do whatever you want, but go the clockwise route. You're going to see a steep incline at the beginning, but it's absolutely beautiful everywhere around. And then you kind of get up to the top of that particular trail, eat an apple, eat a peanut butter and jelly while you're sitting and looking at Mount Hood off in the distance. And then when you get to the top on the way down, it gets easier and you can just put your butt in the snow and slide down it like you're a kid again. Paradise is actually what the lodge or the inn is called, I believe, right next to the Jackson Visitor Center. And that is also where the guided summit trips leave off from. So that is about 15 miles and 9,000 feet of elevation gain to get to the summit. It takes some technical climbing. It takes some serious equipment, but you can hire guides that'll take you up there with a group. And they do that all summer long and have all of the hard stuff taken care of for you. You got to get yourself in shape and not be a fat piece of trash. But other than that, the hard stuff's taken care of for you. For the longest time, I've wanted to do something that I didn't think I could do. I remember when I first heard what the qualifying time for the Boston Marathon was, and I don't even remember what that is, but I first heard that, and maybe it's a 7-minute mile pace or whatever the number is. I remember when I first heard that, and I thought in my head, like, there's no way I could do that. And then it made me want to do it. And then I remember, like, I hate running and I'm an old man and my back hurts all the time. So, oh, guess what? I'm not going to run the Boston Marathon just to prove a point to myself, but I do want to find something that I can prove a point to myself and actually enjoy doing. And getting to the top of Rainier might be that thing. When somebody suggested it or the thought was thrown out, I thought, like, 9,000 feet of elevation gain, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not going to do that. That is something that I love, just being out in the mountains and being in the snow and becoming friends with strangers. That might fall in that category of the thing that I initially thought, I'm like, I can't do that. And then I get to the top of Rainier and I don't know, maybe I do it with my brother, maybe I do it with a friend, and we give each other a hug. I'm like, holy crap, we did it. We're at the top of Washington. We're at the top of the third highest peak in America, the lower 48, that is. I don't know if I'm going to do that. Probably will give up because my superpower is quitting when things get hard. So we'll see how that turns out. But that's a candidate that's been in the running of something that I initially think, like, I couldn't do that, that I would want to take a shot at and actually try. So real quick, running through just some good hikes that I recommend or good things to see if you are on the Paradise or Jackson side. Skyline Trail, like I just said, that's the, if you do one thing and you're physically able to do it, go do the Skyline Trail. Waterfalls that are fun, Comet Falls, Narada Falls, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, Narada. The thing that's cool about that, it's right next to the trailhead, and as you're kind of walking down the path or the steps to get down there, the water's coming fast enough that you can feel that mist. Reflection Lake, again, right off the road, right off the parking lot. That's just what the name suggests. On a clear day, you're going to be able to see the reflection of the mountain in the lake. Pinnacle Peak is another hike near Reflection Lake that people do. We didn't get to it. Funny story about that, though. We were kind of hiking around Reflection Lake. We saw this Asian family that were dressed in jeans and like short sleeve button ups and t-shirts that they tucked into their jeans. They spoke next to no English. And my brother and I were just hiking along and we just got there and didn't know our backside from third base or where anything was. And they're like, paradise? And that's all they could say. They just kept saying paradise. And we looked at them, we're like, I can't help you, man. I don't know what to, like, sorry. And what they were asking is, are they close to the Paradise Lodge? I think they were 3 or 4 miles away and they were lost. So we kind of go about our business and finish up what we're doing. And as the sun's starting to set and get dark, we just drive back to the Airbnb that we stayed at in Ashford and we see them walking on the side of the road. So they managed to get to the road, but they were completely and absolutely lost. The one thing you cannot forget is that you have no cell reception there. If you can borrow a Garmin or a satellite phone from somebody, maybe not the worst idea, something with topographical maps. But don't depend on your phone. Most of those trails are really high traffic, so it's not like you're ever going to be on your own. But don't just think, oh, Google Maps will get me back to where I'm going, because in most of the park, phones don't work. Like we took a trip in a time machine to 30 years ago, 40 years ago, a car broke down in the middle of the park on one of the main roads. They couldn't call for help. So they were out kind of flagging someone down, and a couple cars in front of us pulled over. I think I would have pulled over and helped. I don't know how much help I would actually be. It would probably be more of, hi, I'm a grown man that doesn't know how to fix anything or make anything, but I can drive into town and tell somebody that your car's broken down. But it was an interesting observation that somebody was out in the road kind of flagging people down because their car broke down. I haven't seen that in a long time. The point to drive home here is don't rely on your cell phone. So I mentioned the town Ashford. The town that you stay in can be a bit deceptive. Ashford is technically on both sides of the mountain. So you could say, I'm staying in Ashford, I'm going to be by this. But you might actually be 2 hours away from where you're wanting to be. I would suggest going more by the actual pin drop on a map than where a town would be. So the other side or the other main visitor center is called the Sunrise Visitor Center. That's more on the north to northeast side. This proves my point. The Sunrise Visitor Center is an Ashford, Washington address. The Jackson Visitor Center is also an Ashford, Washington address. To drive from Sunrise to Jackson, it is 3 hours and 14 minutes. There's just no road going through. You've got to go all the way back and around and backtrack to get to where you're going. And don't underestimate exactly how far it is from one side of the mountain to the other. It can take you 3.5 hours to get somewhere. If you choose to go on the Sunrise side, on the northeast side, and getting there from Seattle, there's not that much of a difference. The one trail that we did with kids, you can absolutely pull it off. It's about 2.5 to 3 miles. It's Frozen Lake via the Sourdough Ridge, I believe. And that takes off from right behind the visitor center at Sunrise. It's about 2.5 to 3 miles. A little bit of elevation gain, I'd say 400 to 500 feet. At the end of it, there's a nice little treat. You see, as the name would suggest, a frozen lake. There's an alpine lake that about 10 months out of the year is frozen, and you're going to see snow everywhere. Two girls from Texas that are 4 and 6 and have only seen snow once in their life. It's a great time. Easy to moderate, depending on what kind of shape you're in, trail that has a clear and fun endpoint. You can kind of keep on going past Frozen Lake if you're feeling up to it. So it gives you the option to continue a hike a little bit longer. Other hikes from Sunrise that I would suggest looking into: Natchez Peak Loop, Mount Fremont Lookout Trail. You can drive about 45 minutes to the Grove of the Patriarchs. That is an old growth forest with cedar and fir trees that are over 1,000 years old. And if you didn't know any better, you would think that you're in the California Redwoods. That's an easy, leisurely stroll, no elevation gain. You can just look up at giant trees and wonder what the heck was going on when these things started growing. If you go down by Grove of the Patriarchs, Silver Falls and Blue Hole is a great spot to just find a swimming hole and jump in the water. And I'm going to use that as an opportunity to transition. One of my favorite things that I didn't know I love that I discovered this summer, and that's swimming in alpine lakes. You need to go out and hike. And at the end of the day, not in the middle of the day, because moisture leads to blisters and chafing and not feeling great if you've got anywhere else that you need to go. But at the end of the day, go cannonball into a cold lake. It takes about 3 minutes for your body to completely adjust to jumping in water that's 53 degrees. Trust me, please, trust me on this. You gotta push through it. We actually were next to a Navy medic one day when we were swimming, and we did that. And I said that as I got out of the water. I'm like, it took about 3 minutes to get used to it. And he's like, yeah, your body, your core temperature takes almost exactly three minutes to adjust. Once you're in there, it just feels so refreshing and invigorating, and they're so clear. You can see to the bottom of wherever you are. You can go underneath, open your eyes. It's just crazy, and it's something that I didn't know I loved, but I do. The water's freezing, and you can feel like you're better than other people that think it's too cold. I don't know, but after a day of hiking, ice down your muscles, kind of. Just find a swimming hole. Here are a couple that I would recommend. Silver Falls and Blue Hole, like I mentioned, down in Packwood, Snow Lake and Bench Lake, Sheep Lake, Summit Lake. There's a lot more when you have 25 glaciers and a 14,000 foot mountain. There's going to be some glacial runoff and alpine lakes that create the most beautiful, pristine, clear lakes that you're ever going to jump into. While I'm kind of running down lists, these are things to maybe just pique your interest and maybe do a little bit more research. The stars at night are unbelievable. You're going to see the Milky Way when you get out there. You can take hot air balloon rides over the area. Hey, who doesn't love a little foliage in the fall? Go see the leaves change. I don't know. Seems pretty. I've never seen it around a 14,000 foot mountain. I bet it's better there. You can go sled. You can go ski. You can snowshoe. You can go snowmobiling. There is a wildlife park. I think it's called Northwest Trek Wildlife Park, where you can go see elk and caribou and moose and all these crazy animals that I don't know if they're all indigenous to the area, but who cares? Mountain biking always seems like a better idea than it actually is, because mountain biking is very hard. Maybe go find an area that has a gondola to take you up to the top and just take the bike down as opposed to going up and down, because mountain biking is really hard. Fishing. There are certain lakes that they actually stock with trout. So you can go fishing in a lake. You can find a stream to go fly fish. Speaking of gondolas, I think it's called Crystal Mountain. Fact check me on that, but you can take a gondola to the top of Crystal Mountain, which has beautiful views of the peak of Mount Rainier. Here's my last final sales pitch. It's basically the most majestic thing in the Northwest that is surrounded by old growth forests, absolutely teeming with life. I mean, that's plant life, animal life. And you get in the thick of these otherworldly old growth forests and you forget where you are for a minute. And then you turn a corner and you're like, oh God, there's this giant snow-capped mountain. Or like, oh, there's a glacier on the side of the mountain, or there's this waterfall. So you do see these two ecosystems kind of, not to the extent of something like the Ho Rainforest on the Olympic Peninsula, but you are just in these thick trees that are 500 to 1,000 or more years old, and you forget that there's this huge mountain right there. So my favorite thing about Rainier is just probably the first time you pull around a corner and you see the peak up close, because you can see it from Seattle on a clear day. But when you are close, I'll use the analogy of seeing the forest through the trees, like seeing the mountain as you turn a corner around trees. And it just, boom, it's just there. And it takes your breath away. It really does take your breath away when you get close up and you see it. That's my commercial for Rainier. Go somewhere where your cell phone doesn't work. You just kind of press pause in your life when you're really not that far from civilization. And the crowds will remind you of that. But if you get up early enough, or if you happen to go there in an off-peak time, you can really take it in for what it is. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. I mean, we've been to 45 states and 20 plus countries. It holds up. It's as good as anything you're going to see. One other thought, if you really just want to get after it, you could kind of do a two for one and do Mount Rainier and Mount St. Helens. St. Helens certainly isn't as impressive as Rainier, but it is a snow-capped mountain, and it's the last volcano that has erupted in the U.S. There's a lot of history there, especially if you have kids. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I want you to go to Mount Rainier. I don't really have a dog in most of the fights of these episodes, but we did a lot this summer, and all four of us, my wife, two kids, and I, said that Mount Rainier was the best thing that we did this summer. That's a complicated thing, because we could say, oh, well, over the course of this 3-day trip or this weekend, we did all this stuff and all of that together. Probably was better than our one day at Rainier with our family. But the one singular moment and one best thing that we saw all summer exploring the Northwest, basically every weekend, was Mount Rainier. That's all we got. You know the drill? Give us a little love, whether that's on Instagram or subscribing or 5 stars or all that nonsense. This is me just begging for your adoration. Please give it to me. My dad never said that he's proud of me. Just please, please tell me that I'm doing a good job. Our final call to action, as always, if you have a story worth telling, reach out. I'd love to chat with you and have you on.